Right, so we know for sure it is going to be back to school come 1 June, or at least back to school for some, starting with grades 7 and 12. Both the Basic Education Minister and the President last night assured parents that they are working to make sure that schools are ready to welcome back pupils in safe and hygienic conditions, that supplies are being put in place for proper sanitation, that regular screening will be carried out for pupils showing signs of COVID-19. Both of them, too, have been at pains to point out that no parent is going to be forced to send their child back to school if they don't feel they should. Now, that includes those whose children have underlying health conditions, which might put them at higher risk. But what about those who simply don't feel confident in school's ability to manage the situation? What is actually the legal position for parents who find themselves debating this choice? To try and give us some clarity, I'm delighted to welcome on the line Nerina Ali, who is a lawyer and director of the Equal Education Law Centre. Wonderful to have you on the show. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Nerina, what does the law say about requiring children to be in school in normal times? What sort of benchmarks are in place?
Well, in normal circumstances, the South African Schools Act is very clear that children of compulsory school-going age should be sent to school or should be given access to basic education by parents. And the failure to do that without just cause or without having specific reason to do so is actually a violation of that act under normal circumstances. And so that's the important starting point for this discussion.
Okay, so it is required, and failure to do so without a good reason for it is viewed as a violation. Now, in those normal circumstances, if somebody does want to remove their child from formal schooling and opt for something like homeschooling instead, what sort of processes do they have to follow in order to do that legally?
Well, there is a process in place, and any parent who's interested in the process can visit the Department of Basic Education's website. They have a specific section for homeschooling, and it explains the process that one has to go through, which includes getting in touch with the provincial education department, which in the province that you're in, explaining the situation, and then also getting the required curriculum that will need to be followed. And so in normal circumstances, you get in touch with the department and follow the process for having your child registered for homeschooling.
Okay, so you have to register for that. If you simply take your child out of school and don't register, what are the possible consequences?
Well, that is when you're then in the realm of breaching the Act. And it must be emphasized that it is important to make sure that children are getting access to education. And if they're of compulsory school-going age, it's the department's responsibility as well to make sure that there's enough place for children to be receiving education. Failure of a parent to actually ensure that their child goes to school is a violation of the legislation, and it is also an offence and something that can be prosecuted.
Okay, thank you very much for spelling out for us what things look like in normal circumstances. Of course, these are anything but normal circumstances. And Nerina, a lot of parents saying, I don't want to risk sending my child to school. My child has an underlying condition that makes it high risk, or I do, and I'm worried that they might bring the bug home and put me at risk. From what you've just described, is your understanding that if a parent wants to exercise their discretion about going back to school, they need to go through the process you've just outlined for us, or do you get the feeling that there's some kind of window being allowed where it's not quite as strictly monitored?
Well, I think an important starting point here is really getting information. This is a very difficult period. It's a challenging period, both for the Department of Education and obviously also for parents who are very anxious and understandably concerned. But it's quite important for parents to really understand what the situation is at their children's school at the very local level, getting in touch with the school, finding out what systems are in place, finding out what processes are being instituted, and making a decision on that basis. At this point in time, the minister has indicated that if parents feel strongly that their child is unable to go to school or they don't want their child to go to school, then there should be processes in place for homeschooling. It's currently unclear whether there will be special processes put in place given the current circumstances. But what has been said is that if your child has an underlying condition, then schools are also required to support children in those circumstances. And so I come back to the point again, it's really important for parents to try and get as much information as possible before making any decisions around their child and their future.
Okay. That's really important, that comment about schools being required to do what they can to support the kids. That's easier done in a well-resourced school where most of the learners have got online access and access to devices, and you can say, we'll teach the kids who are here in the classroom and those who are at home can join in online. That's an absolute pipe dream for many, many schools all over South Africa, and Cape Town's no exception. Narina, I mean, it's hard to ask schools to support kids staying at home when they can barely accommodate the kids they've got in the classroom already.
No, absolutely. And I think there's been understandable concerns around the capacity of schools to actually provide the sort of support that's needed in these circumstances. We've been following quite closely the information that the Department of Education has been putting out there on its website. We've also made a plea to the department to make any information that it has available so that parents can feel a little bit more comforted by what support is being provided. At present, we have actually raised the point with the department that it's not entirely clear what resources are being put in place to make sure that children who have to remain home will be supported. However, as it stands, in terms of the department's standard operating procedures, this is the guideline document that's put in place. In terms of those standard operating procedures, there is an indication that children who are unable to attend school for reasons of underlying conditions should have some curriculum support provided to them.
Okay, now that leads us to an important question. You've mentioned earlier the fact that the department has a responsibility to ensure there is enough place at schools for the children who need them. We know every year there is massive clamoring to get places in top schools in particular, but to get a place in a school full stop is a challenge for some parents. A lot of them are mailing us saying, we're worried, I'll preference would be to keep our child at home because they are asthmatic or they have an immune deficiency, for example. But if my child is not at school, I'm worried that their place in the school might be affected. If, for example, I choose to homeschool them for the rest of the year, will they be guaranteed a place again at the start of the new year? Is there any clarity on that situation?
Well, you know, we're in very difficult circumstances, and so not all the questions have been answered at this point. One of the things that I do want to ask listeners to do if they have these sorts of questions and queries is to call us. Our office number is 0800-110-752. That's a toll-free number. And as these questions come in, we can try and seek clarity from the provincial education departments on what the position will actually be. Also to ask parents to make sure that they're contacting their schools and also asking the schools what their understanding of the position is.
You've mentioned the obligation for schools to support the learners. What about the obligations on parents? Narina, is there an obligation for a parent to be quite forthright in talking to the school if their child is in a risk category?
Yes, the parent should be making the schools aware if their child is of high risk or has an underlying condition. Only if they do that will the school be able to make relevant accommodation for that. And it's absolutely imperative that parents, as much as the provincial education departments or the schools, maintain the best interests of children first and foremost. And so before making any decisions, it's really important to bear in mind what is going to be the impact on any child, regardless of the position taken, whether they go to school or whether they don't.
Narina, Terence has raised such an important issue in his comment. How can many moms and dads be asked to go back to work when creches and some schools remain closed? Who is going to look after those children? It seems that the early childhood development centres and creches are going to stay closed much longer than the primary and high schools. Terence won't be alone in that predicament, that business is reopening, parents are being asked to come back to school, to work, and their usual childcare scenario isn't going to be there. Is that something that the department has given any input on?
Well, this is exactly the dilemma. At the same time as parents are concerned about their children going back to school, we also have the difficulty where schools and childcare facilities need to open in order for parents to be able to go back to work. So we have also been asking the department to be very clear in what the processes will be for the return of the remainder of grades under safe conditions. And we've also been asking questions about ECD centres. And at this point in time, it's not entirely clear what the position regarding ECD centres will be. The Minister of Education has said that she is speaking to the Department of Social Development, but we are following up to try and get information around that.
Okay. Nerina, I know Equal Education is a huge voice in the fight for decent conditions at schools. You are constantly reminding us that there are still schools in South Africa without access to running water, with massively overcrowded classrooms, without decent toilets. Those factors become even more important in a scenario like we're currently facing, where hygiene and the maintenance of good hygiene becomes so important. Are you worried about the level of preparation for schools that don't have running water in particular?
Yes, this is a severe concern. The issue that Equal Education is a social movement. We're the public interest law organization that supports Equal Education and other organizations. But as our movement client, Equal Education has been consistently raising the alarm around the poor conditions, particularly around sanitation in schools, and particularly poor township and rural schools. And unfortunately, the Department of Basic Education's failure in this regard is really now coming to the fore. The department has said that they're going to make emergency provisioning available for schools in need. However, we haven't yet seen a list of the schools that will be provided with the emergency provisioning. And we've also asked the department to make this publicly available, to have information and data online so that parents can easily see whether the schools that their children are going to is actually being provided with the water and other sanitation requirements that are needed.
Okay. Nerina, Lisa asking a question, taking us back to registering for homeschooling. Lisa saying she is probably facing the scenario of not sending a child back to school, so they won't complete the school year at the current school. And she says, I'm sure many people will face this kind of dilemma about going back to private schools because they can no longer afford the fees. If that is the case and one has to register for a homeschool program, some might choose to send their child to a different school from next year. Do you know, she asks, will you have to pay for the assessment moving into the next grade as per the current homeschool requirements? So if I'm understanding that correctly, if you have been homeschooling and you want to move back into the formal schooling system, you have to do an assessment, which I gather needs to be paid for. Is there any indication of whether that might be waived given the current circumstances?
Well, that is a very specific question, and it would be difficult for me to answer offhand right now. But as I said before, we encourage these sorts of questions to be sent through to our office, either through our telephone line or through our email. And the more that we understand the questions that are relevant to parents, the more we're able to provide very specific answers and taking into account the context that we're currently in.
Okay. Nerina, that toll-free number I'll repeat at the end of the interview. But a final question for you. Obviously, this is not a decision to be taken lightly, and I'm sure it's not one that parents are toying with without giving massive thought and consideration to. My question is, do we have any sort of case study to assist us in contemplating the longer term impact of the decision to keep a child out of school? Have we had scenarios in our past where there've been long outages away from school? And do we know what the impact was in terms of children coming back into the school system after that?
Well, that is a very interesting question. And I am aware of a number of researchers that are actually looking at examples where children have been out of school for long periods. And sort of.
Oh dear, we seem to have lost Nerina's signal there. What I'm going to do is put it back to my producer and see if my producer can just jot down the answer to that question, and I will feed it through to you after the 2:30 news headlines. I'm so sorry about losing the signal. So we'll go to news and then I'll give you the answer to that question, plus repeat the contact information for the Equal Education Law Centre after this. It is